are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Our live stream viewers, Facebook Live viewers tonight, we welcome you tonight, YouTube viewers, and of course, our television audience, thank you for tuning in tonight. There in America, a great privilege to bring the Word of God to you, right to your nation where you are. We know God's got great plans for your life. There in Europe tonight, thank you for watching. And across this beautiful continent of Africa, I want to tell you, Africa, it is our time to arise and shine. This is our hour. Come on. Come on, somebody shout, God bless South Africa. I want to continue, rein myself back a little bit tonight, and continue and close this journey that I believe God's been taking us upon, on relationships, talking about the power of association, the power of alignment, and the power of unity. I want to wrap it up tonight. These may be for our movement or some of the most critical messages I've ever preached. So if you were not yet, get them, because we're not only talking about now, we're talking about the future. When I came to Bloemfontein, God called me there many years ago. God spoke to me about running for Him, and then God told me, build for generations to come. Build for your children's children's children. That means we have to remain a church that is relevant, and we have to empower the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Every generation should stand on the sacrifice of the previous generation. No generation should fall asleep. No generation should camp, listen, on the sacrifice of the previous generation. So we have to catch the heart of this movement. We have to catch what our church is all about. Whether you're in business, sport, media, entertainment, politics, we are a united force together, and our purpose is to establish God's kingdom in our world. Amen. Not to play church, not to have goosebumps, not to prophesy just to one another, but to inspire one another to make Jesus more famous in our life. It is one of our goals in our church that we are here for the glory and the renown of His name. We want to make Jesus more famous. Amen. Otherwise, what is church all about? It's not about CRC. CRC is just the vehicle. It's the vessel to make Jesus more famous. Come on, give that name that is above every other name the glory and the praise. Come on, stand to your feet with me tonight. Come on, we honor Him above every other name. Oh, come on, I need you to help me to praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Psalm 133, the Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down from the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, everybody say, for there. The Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. I think we've established that God is a God of purpose, God is a God of unity, and that where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Whether it's a business, a government, a church, a home, a marriage. Unity is what attracts the blessing of God. Unity in God's purpose. I just want to qualify that. Where there's unity, people are empowered to prosper. Satan, the enemy, knows this and will do everything in his power to bring things out of alignment, to bring people out of association, and to cause division. He understands, united we stand, divided we fall. Mark chapter 3, just recapping, Jesus said in verse 24, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Now, many people are divided in themselves. Their spirit wants to serve God, but their mind doesn't. Tonight, we're coming in alignment. Tonight, you are going to give yourself back to Jesus Christ. Come on, tonight, you are going to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and your house will belong to God. Say amen tonight. So the devil's tactic is always the same, to divide and conquer. If he wants to conquer a marriage, he divides the marriage. He wants to conquer a home cell, he divides. A government, he divides. Satan is a divider. God is a builder. God is a unifier. So united we stand. We saw last week that God hates division, that God is against those people in His body who causes division. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16, the Bible says, these six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Paul says that we have to mark divisive people and have nothing to do with them. Why does God take division so seriously? Because it's the only way His kingdom can come to a grinding halt. The devil, the world, sinners cannot stop or immobilize His church. The only one who can stop the church are believers when they turn against one another, when people get offended with one another, when people no longer keep rank, when people no longer walk in the place in the body where God placed them. So we want to talk tonight about the blessing of unity. Everybody again, say unity. No, I said everybody. Come on, say unity. Okay, Amos 3 verse 3, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they are agree? I mean, a teacher told little Johnny, said, Johnny, sit down. Because Johnny was a little bit restless. And he said, ma'am, I want you to know I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. So we want to talk about agreement. We want to talk about really getting on the same page, okay? Association is relationships that I benefit by. Alignment is a little bit closer. Ruth that aligns herself with Naomi. Joshua that aligns himself with Moses. The 12 who aligned themselves with Jesus for a greater cause. We have to align ourselves in the body of Christ in the place where God has placed us. And I want to tell you, in your Christian journey, you will have many reasons to get out of alignment. Amen. I mean, you'll come to church one Sunday and somebody sits on your seat. Can you imagine? Another bear sits on your seat. Okay. Somebody is rude in the parking lot. Somebody doesn't greet you. A friend gossips about you. There'll be many opportunities in your journey to get offended. Amen. But we have to guard our hearts and not allow offense to take us out of alignment. Because in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. We have to align with the greater. I mean, sometimes you talk to people and they say, well, I don't believe belonging to a church. Well, okay, you don't have a scripture for that. And if you were in the New Testament church, you would not hear God talk to you because God didn't talk to every member. God spoke to the leadership of the church. And every letter that is written to the leadership of the church. And when the church was birthed in the day of Pentecost, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Not everybody had their own revelation. Everybody had their own tongue. Everybody had their own fire. Everybody ran from church to church. No, people were planted in the local church. People were planted in the house of God. People were aligned. People gave themselves to a cause bigger and beyond themselves, which is the evangelization of this world. Amen. To be part of something that will bring Jesus Christ to the whole world and heal the hurts of people. Come on, say amen. So let's look at an example of unity. How powerful unity is. True unity and what it is. Well, sometimes we think we're in unity, but we're in agreement. Amen. True unity. Sometimes we are united because we want something. Sometimes we are united because we think this is the best place right now. We have to understand unity, godly unity, how God builds His church. Genesis 11, the Bible says in verse 1, the whole earth had one language and one speech. Everybody say one. No, come on, CRC. Everybody say one. This is not a crowd, this is a church. We are very intentional to build a church, not to gather a crowd. Whenever a crowd showed up, Jesus challenged commitment. Because the crowd shouts Hosanna today and crucify Him tomorrow. The faithful are planted in the vision, in the house, and they are there in the good times and in the bad times, okay? At the foot of the cross, they are planted. So yeah, are people without God, and they have one language, they have one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said to one another, come let us. Somebody say, come let us. Make bricks and bake them thoroughly. I just want to say, sometimes people talk to me and they say, Pastor, your church. I say, whose church? Are you a member? Yeah. He says, yes, I'm a member. Yeah. I said, whose church is this? It's not my church. It's his church, but it's our church. Pastor, the building you are building, I say, who's building that building in Johannesburg? We are building that building. So when Ports of Strum explodes, we are exploding. Amen. When Durban explodes, we are exploding. When your brother is on it, you are on it, because it has led us. We are on it. If one member of the body is on it, the whole body rejoices. If one member suffers, the whole body suffers. We don't get jealous because one church is exploding. We don't sit there as a pastor tonight and say, why him and not me? We keep rank where God has placed us. We are excited that God's blessing is upon our movement. We keep rank where God has placed us. We believe God for a great revival. Amen. We believe God that the greatest preachers will still emerge. The greatest businessmen. Come on. The greatest songs will still be written. The greatest generation is arising in our midst. That's what we believe, and that is our goal. So, these people were one, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and build them thoroughly. How do you know you're running a great business when people no longer talk about your company, but our company? That's why if you have people working in your company and they're faithful people, you better consider profit share and shares. Otherwise, they will always look for another opportunity. You have to give people ownership. People have to own your vision. You can't be the only one who owns your vision. The people must own the vision. God communicates through the managing director or the senior pastor, but then it becomes our vision. Come, let us. Come, let us. Let us build a church. Come on, let us build one church in many locations. Come on, let us win the lost at any cost. Come on, let us build a church that is multicultural, multigenerational. Come on, let us. There are certain things that are not debatable. There are certain things that are not negotiable. There are certain things we don't have to talk about. We have a clear philosophy. We know what God has called us to build. So we don't sit in that place and then we have an indifferent spirit and we think, well, I can do it better. If you could do it better, you would be doing it. So they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the Son of Man had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do, and now nothing that they propose to do, nothing they purpose, because of unity, will be withheld from them. I mean, this is God coming. These people don't even have God. Unlike the day of Pentecost, when God unites the nations, this is the only place in the Bible where God divides, because people are going to build something and exclude God from the building. And God says, they've set their minds, they are so focused, whatever they intended to build, they will accomplish. Because of the power of unity, power of agreement, power of alignment, power of oneness. So God scatters them. So these people were in unity. Number one, language. Let us. I want to encourage you, if you build with people, listen to the vocabulary. If people always talk about you, your vision, or me, myself, and I, watch that person, because he's not a builder. Even Jesus, when he came, he taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, give us. He changed our prayer from bless me, Jabez, to bless us, bless the body, bless the church. So now what is important is my alignment with the greater church of God. One language. Every family has a language. Every church has a language. Everybody will say the same thing, and then suddenly somebody wants to change the language. If you allow that, this unity comes into an organization, into a church, into a movement, into a business. You have to make sure the language is the same. Paul, in the New Testament, instructs the people again and again. He says, see that you mind the same thing. See that you speak the same thing. So, everything we say should be the same. Amen? Every generation. I mean, people talk about the millennial generation today as if they are this difficult generation to touch. No generation is more difficult than another generation. Every generation needs an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ. Come on. Everybody needs salvation. Everybody needs to be brought into the fiery presence of God. Every generation must learn what it is to sacrifice, what it is to honor God, what it is to serve God. Oh, come on, young people. Don't look at me like that. Say amen and give him a praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah. It's like people think you have to talk to young people in a roundabout way. Or you watch many people that minister to young people, they become cool. Well, Jesus never said you have to be cool. He said you're hot or you're cold. You better be hot. You better be on fire. Because people aren't going to follow your short pants. People are going to follow the fire that's in your heart. People won't follow your hairstyle. People are going to follow the fire that's in your heart. Come on. People are going to fire the passion that you have for God. Then we'll see a move of God in this young generation. So they were aligned, secondly, in vision. More than one vision is thy vision. Vision. You build a business, you need a clear vision. South Africa, we need a vision. One vision to rebuild this country. Amen. Like Nehemiah had, one vision to rebuild the walls for the sake of people. Not an ANC vision, a DA vision, a EFFFF vision, not an alphabet vision. We just need a vision. Amen. To make South Africa a prosperous country for all people. Amen. And we pray that God will remove politicians that do not have a vision for the people of South Africa. We pray that God will raise up people who will have a vision for all the people of South Africa. Black, white, yellow, pink, all people have a future in South Africa. This beautiful rainbow nation of ours, we have a future. Come on, say it again. God bless South Africa in Jesus' name. So they had one vision. I mean, it's taken me years to get people in alignment, literally pastors. In the early years, every time we started another church, the pastor would want to reinvent the wheel. I mean, you don't start another McDonald's franchise and those people decide how they make the hamburger. You drive through Burger King here in Pretoria, Burger King in Switzerland, Burger King in Australia, you find exactly the same burger. It tastes the same. Well, CRC, when your time comes to shine for God, make the same burger. Stand for the same values. Protect the presence of God. Have a church that's a soul-winning church. Win the lost at any cost. Don't compromise on the values that we have that are for the future generations. Amen. But you have to go and, okay, now I've gone to America for training. Now I'm going to open my franchise and you change everything. Well, in business, it's the same. Sometimes you run a business and everybody wants to do it their way. Frank Sinatra's way, which only me and a few people will understand. I did it my way. But in God's kingdom, we have to do it His way. Every generation must align with His greater plan and His greater purpose. So these people align themselves in one vision. One vision. One vision. The people were one. They had one vision to build a tower. What are you part of? Sure, you have your own vision or mission in life. But as a Christian, where did God place you? What are you aligned with beyond yourself? Well, they were aligned to build a tower. We should be aligned, united together to build God's church in South Africa, in Africa, and the nations of the world. We have to align ourselves, and in aligning ourselves, it means we have to die a little bit to ourselves. Amen. And not always think I know it all. No, no, you don't. No, 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 you're the next generation. You have to be raised up to keep rank. You have to catch the DNA or you're never going to have your own. You have to learn what it is to be faithful in that which is another man's. Then God will give you that which is your own. You want to represent your leader in his absence as if he was there himself. So we are sent by God. We want to represent God as if God was here in the world himself. So if you work for somebody, you want to represent your boss. You want to represent your company. You can't go work for Coca-Cola and you go talk PepsiCo. You can't work for Coca-Cola and your fridge is full of Pepsi-Cola. You're not even getting what I'm saying here. You're thinking about Coca-Cola, I'm just talking about ministry. You see the church as a platform, but we go to your fridge, you don't find CRC, you find everything else but CRC. Find everything else. That's why things aren't working often at times, because the anointing is not flowing. We saw that the anointing flows from the head down. The anointing flow, but you tamper with a pattern, you block the anointing. You tamper with what God has established, you block the anointing, you block the flow. You go and you tamper with what God, you decide, no, I'm just going to prophesy from the morning till the evening, but our DNA that God gave us, because we're a tribe, one of the tribes, many churches, and we thank God for every church. We recognize that we're not the only church, that God's using many, many churches, as He did in the Old Testament, that there were 12 tribes. We are a tribe, a little tribe, but we at least we're doing something. And we are not unsure about who we are. This is who we are. This is our DNA. This is our identity. This is what we have fought for years and years and years. Long before many of you were ever born, we established our DNA. This is who we are. So when the next generation comes, they cannot tamper with the DNA. If we want to see a move from generation to generation, if we want to see a revival go beyond one generation, we need a generation that will carry the encounter that the first generation had with God. Come on, we're talking about a greater generation, but you better climb the mountain with Moses and have an encounter with God by yourself and come back and represent God to the people. Not you in association, but you're not in unity. And you see it through language. When you have your own soul, what's coming out of your mouth? Oh, I know that the leaders want us to share this, but you know, I prayed and the Lord showed me this. Brother, you're in error. You're not in alignment. You, that wheel that's causing a vibration in the home cell, because you're not allowing the anointing to flow through you. There's a vibration on the steering wheel. The car's pulling to the one side, and it's all because of you. You, the wheel. And can I remind you that it's easy to replace a wheel so that the car can run smoothly again? So if you were placed by God in a specific place, you have to be faithful to the agreement that you made with the leadership. Because the anointing flows from the top down. The anointing flows from the top down. The anointing flows with his unity. 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 Like Gideon said, watch me and do likewise. Watch me and do likewise. So we're talking in a church context, business exactly the same. If somebody goes out and sells on behalf of your company, that person has to represent you. They can't have a folder or on their computer have something else, but they work for Barlow World. Let's pick on them. They were here this morning. And, you know, they sell another product. And they go there and they say, you know, this Barlow World Caterpillar is a fantastic program, a thing. But, you know, this is actually better. Let's talk about this. Let's not talk about Barlow World. Let's not talk about Caterpillar. But why wouldn't they do that? Because they get their money selling the product. So they're going to talk about Caterpillar. But where there's a little bit of freedom, people come and they say, well, let's not talk about this. Let's not talk about this caterpillar. You know, I've got something better. What did you just say? You just said, I'm above. You just said, I hear God better. You just violated something that releases the anointing. That's why God says you cannot have it in the name of the Lord. That's why God had to cut Gideon's army from 22,000 to 300. Because only 300 could keep alignment. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Watch me and do likewise. Because charismatics have a disease. I mean, they watch and then they do what they want to do. Thank you for shutting me down. You all know I'm talking the truth. That's why you're so quiet tonight. Amen. Because we all have the Holy Ghost, like Korah and the 250 people who said to Moses, we also hear God. Who do you think you are? You've set yourself above the people. We also hear God. So Moses said, you do hear God, but you don't hear God for me. You hear God where you've been placed in the body. So you don't hear up, you hear down. So if you violate an instruction, working for a company, let's go there, because some of you are getting very uncomfortable because we're talking about the Church of Jesus, who is the hope of the world, because you were trained to be so independent, so spiritual that you can't keep rank anywhere, that we have to take it to your world and say, but you can't work for a company and you always challenge the boss. You work for a company, you always know better than the boss. Then go work for another company. If you can't align yourself with the person who pays your salary, please give me a Pentecostal break. Vamoose. Make way for somebody that will. I mean, those who pay your salary should not be tolerant with your intolerance. So why should we in leadership be tolerant with people's intolerance? If they're not tolerant, if they don't tolerate unity, but we have to tolerate their intolerance and stop a move of God. So this is much deeper than what many of you realize. Because if we all get on the same page, we all truly get on the same page, which requires dying to self. Which requires being one. which is a foreign concept in our world today, because we are taught to question everybody, especially and everything on social media. Somebody does something and there you go on social media, you say what you want to without any accountability. Except when you stand before God one day, you'll give account for every idle word that you've spoken. You better realize it. You can't just put things out there. You can't just open your mouth on social media and think there's going to be no consequence. You must be slow to speak and quick to listen. That's what the Bible says. So when you make a commitment and you get responsibility and you say, let us... While you are building, you can't change let us to let me. If you start let us, you have to finish let us. For the greater glory of God to manifest. Am I with you today? I'm not speaking Spanish tonight, amen. Am I with you? We'll get into preaching next week and get you all to shout and jump and do everything, but there's no good us shouting and jumping and we're not in alignment. There's no good we're not on the same page. It's not if we're not seeing the same thing. If we're not understanding the same thing, what are we building? What is our expectation? Because many people sit and they thought, well, I thought. No, we don't think. We keep rank where God places us. So if it's not this church, you need to find a church where you can keep rank and where you can serve and where you can be faithful, because you will serve God's kingdom purpose through the church where God has placed you. God's not going to meet with you outside under a bush. That was Moses. Your name is not Moses. Okay. God will meet with you in the church, in the local church. He's not going to meet with you at a valley. That was Elijah. You're not Elijah. He now meets with you in the church. The church is the dwelling place of God. The church is the pillar and ground of all truth. The church is the place of revelation. The church is the place of instruction. So you have to align yourself with a church where you can submit to the vision that God has, and you can identify with that vision, and you can die to your ego, and you can die to your self-pride, and you can embrace a cause of Christ that is bigger than yourself, so you can serve the purpose of God for generations to come. Say amen and give the Lord a praise. Come on, hallelujah. So these people had one vision, they had one intention. Not to do my own thing, to build the wall. One purpose, one focus. Because of this unity, God says nothing they imagined to do would be withheld from them. Imagine that. Young pastors of CRC tonight, if you, and I say if, can stay in alignment and unity, not only with me and with one another, there is nothing that we will not be able to accomplish. Absolutely nothing. Because a fist has much greater impact than five individual fingers. And yes, the challenge to get strong men to do this, because strong men want to do that, and they want to do that, and they want to do that, and they want to all go their own direction. Okay. They want to all go because I'm my man. And maybe the greatest thing for the greatest challenge for a strong man is really to die to me. Because strong men have a natural ego. Strong men have a way to get themselves places that other people can't get themselves to. I'm not just talking about muscles. I'm talking about personality, force of character, personality. Very difficult for a strong man to align with other strong men, because he has to die to something. When you get five lions walking together like this in a territory, male lions, they're unstoppable. When you get a lion, no matter how powerful he is, isolated by himself, as he grows older, the hyenas will take him out. Come on. We can learn from nature. Let's be the mighty men and the mighty women that God's called us to be at this hour. Building. Come on. Building for generations to come. Building for generations to come. Having a vision for revival in our country, revival in our schools, revival in our universities, revival in our neighborhoods, revival in our businesses. Come on, standing united in the name of Jesus, being part of something bigger than yourself, so that the glory of God can flow through you. I mean, tonight we're over 40 churches gathered in unity. That's a miracle. Do you understand what a miracle that is? Because every pastor, especially, they even more so, I have the Holy Ghost, I don't have to listen to anybody else. I talk to people that have little churches like this. I said, why don't you come to the conference? I'm too busy. too busy doing what? Looking after 50 people? It should take you 1 second a week. I mean, I went to a prayer meeting once and everybody prays together, and then the guy's got like 3 people and he prophesies. I say, excuse me, just build a church, then you start prophesying. Don't prophesy to somebody that's built a church already. Maybe you should shut up and listen to that person telling you something. I didn't see any businessman walk up to the CEO of Barloworld that was here this morning and tell him how to run a business. Only in Christian circles does somebody come in the name of the Lord that's not even wet, they're still wet behind their ears, and they're now going to tell the pastor, or they're going to tell somebody else. But then they have a church so small, if that church shuts down, nobody will miss it. Why is it so difficult for people to align with something bigger? Because of ego, pride. And these things stop the kingdom of God when we, in a move of God, want to be alive more than the vision. That's what Hillsong got right with their music. Their music is sung all over the world, but you don't know who the personalities are. Planet Shakers, you don't know who the personalities are. Because the name that represents that part of God's kingdom is bigger than any individual. God's not going to build his church any other way. The name of God's vehicle, church, will be bigger than anybody else. Now, if your ego is too big for that, I'm sad to say he's going to pass you by. You're going to sit on the sideline and smoke your pipe and daydream and call it vision. And people that are less talented than you, less gifted than you, are going to run past you because they learned to die. They learned to be molded. They learned to be part of. Let us. I pray tonight that this registers in a young man's heart, a young woman's heart, somebody that's called to do great exploits for God, that you realize that the whole is more important than the individual. That where God wants to take you, you need every brother and every sister, and you need to value every relationship, kingdom relationship, that God is giving you. You need to respect and honor those who have gone before you and treasure those who are following you. Generation to generation, building in alignment, not to make any man famous, but to make God more famous and to plunder hell and populate heaven. What more noble task is there? And if you find a better vehicle than this, then go join that vehicle and die to yourself and go serve in that house and be part of something that's changing the world for Jesus Christ. But still, after many years, to be so opinionated, full of yourself, full of your own agendas. Really? The miracle of the early church was, and you can study it out after the day of Pentecost, you don't read about this name and that name and that name and that name. You read about the believers. Oh, sure, key players in the church. You read about this apostle and that prophet and this evangelist. But further on, you don't read about many other people. You read about the company of believers. You read about the disciples multiplied. The disciples were scattered and the disciples preached the word of God. You read about people that did great exploits for God without anybody's reputation being inflated. Anybody going with a big inflated ego? No. It was the church of God that was glorified. It was the church of God where the presence of God dwelt, because that's what Jesus died for. That is what was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Come on. What God divided at the Tower of Babel, God reunited on the day of Pentecost when he brought people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and he poured his spirit upon them, and they became an unstoppable force. They become known as those who turned the world upside down. Sure, there was a Peter. Sure, there was a Paul. But then there were hundreds of thousands of believers that you don't know about. But they were part of a movement. They were part of the early church. They were people that gathered the whole Jerusalem. They were people that evangelized the whole Minor Asia. Disciples of the Lord. Not people carrying heavy titles of prophet, bishop, apostle. No. Men and women sold out to the cause of Christ. Men and women who knew what it is to keep rank. Men and women who knew what it is was to walk humble under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Will you be one of those people? Will you be one of those men, one of those women tonight that say, Father, I hear your voice. I hear your call. This is my house. This is my place. This is where you planted me. More of you and less of me. Use me for your glory and allow the journey to take place so God can raise you. Not in this hour maybe, but in hours to come. For tomorrow, God can raise you to be a mighty man, a mighty woman of God, building for generations to come in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you receive that tonight, give the Lord a praise in this house all over. Come on there in Bloemfontein.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Art.
In all our churches tonight, everybody pray this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you tonight. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive forever. Today, I open my heart and I invite you to take your rightful place. I call on your name. Jesus, please save me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you tonight that you give me the power to be a true child of God. I repent of my old life and I intend to follow you now and forevermore. You are my God, my Father. I'm born again. I'm heaven bound. I'm forgiven. I am free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.